Let's open in a word of prayer first, and then we'll start the message this morning. Lord, I just do want to come before you, Lord, really humbly, Lord. As a man, Lord, standing up in front of people, Lord, I'm just like a beggar who found food and trying to tell other people where to find it. And Lord, I'm needing the power of the Holy Spirit today, Lord, to fill me, Lord, and be able to help me to say exactly what needs to be said. Lord, I want to pray that as I am your instrument, Lord, giving the word out that today, Lord, that you will speak to hearts, and Lord, we will be able to glorify God, which is in heaven. Lord, just every aspect of the service and everything that's done now, Lord, may it be done to your glory. I do want to pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew in chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. This passage of scripture is seen, many call it the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. The Great Commission. And the reason why it's called the Great Commission is really exactly what it says. We've been commissioned, and this is the Great Commission that we are to do. It says in verse 19 of Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Amen. Now this Great Commission was the last words Jesus had on earth. And it was, we could split it up into three parts. The first part is, I suppose we could say, evangelism, discipleship, and the church. Or if we break it down into something we can understand, is going out, teaching the converted, and continuing therein, continuing in the things there. Now, this morning we're just going to look at the one topic of evangelism, of going out, of teaching the gospel. Now, there's a couple of points here that we're going to look at. And the first one I'd like to look at is, who are the ones who are told to go? If you see there in verse 19, it says, "Go, go ye therefore, go." Now, if we're looking at the immediate people of who the Lord Jesus is here talking to, it's the 11 disciples. It's Jesus' disciples. If we look at 2 Timothy 2:2, if you turn there quickly... There's tons of passages which can tell us these sort of things, but 2 Timothy 2:2, or in verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast learnt of me." So we've got Paul telling Timothy, "The things that thou hast learnt of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be also to teach others also." There's five groups of people there, and every single one of them have been given the commission. They've been given the commission to go, the same as the disciples were. We can look at through the pages of Scripture with the examples of people like Philip and Stephen and even Lois and Eunice and their testimony to their son Timothy and bringing him up and teaching him the Word of God. These people weren't apostles. These people weren't the immediate disciples from the Lord Jesus. And every single one of them was going out and teaching people to observe these things. They were going out and teaching the word. If you look in Ephesians chapter 6 as well, we won't turn there, but it says, "Finally, my brethren," people who are in the Lord, it says, "Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, put on." He doesn't say only the people who are there to preach, only the preachers put on. He talks about every single one of them who are the people who are part of the body of Christ. He tells them, you put on the armor of God. And one of them is having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So it is a duty for every single one of us to take this commission here to go to be for us. We need to see this as the Lord Jesus has commissioned us to go. To go. Now, also, he hasn't just commissioned us individually, But he has also commissioned the church. He has commissioned the church to go. Now, the body of believers, so every individual one that makes up the church, the people that make up the church are a body of believers who have believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They come together to meet. Now, this is a church. This building is not a church. It is the people that come to meet. Now, God was the one who ordained or instituted the church, one of his institutions. He made it an institution where we have the authority. Actually, we're supposed to have more authority than you could even say the government. That's not something we see these days. We are to have the authority to go out and to tell other people. Now, the reason why we can see this as the church, we will see it a little bit more in the when, but we are to go out as a church, as individuals. Now, it's not supposed to be a business either. It's not supposed to be a business of going out and sending people out. It has to do with, as Christians who make up a church, to go out, bring people in, to send them out, to go again. That's what a church is all about. And as you come together, it's to do with exhorting one another towards good works, towards going out again, to bring more in, to send more out. That's the duty of a church. It's not get as many Christians as we can here, make it bigger, make it bigger, make it bigger. It's no, go out, make more churches, more witness, reach the whole world. And that's more we're going to look at in the where. But why, you may ask, why are we commissioned to go? Why are we to go? Now, the basic answer, the simple answer, and it shouldn't be anything more than just this, is that it's a command. God has, by the Lord Jesus Christ, has said here, go ye therefore. He hasn't made it an option. He hasn't said, if you want, it's a go ye therefore, it's a command. In 1 John 2:3, we can actually see that a true child of God, someone who professes faith in the Lord Jesus, an evidence of their salvation is that they obey the commands of the Lord. They obey the commands of the Lord. And as a command, we are to go. We could look more into things like having compassion and love on others to others and all these other things. But basically, it's a command and we need to obey the word of God and we need to look at his commands as truths for all of us to do them and obey them. Now, the question is what? What is the message we are to tell? It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? What is the message we are to tell? Now, I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago. I looked in my mailbox and I pulled out an A4 piece of paper. I pulled it out, flipped it over, just quickly, briefly looked over it, and it had Bible verses, one side and the other. And it said up the top, along the lines of, I can't remember exactly because I threw it out, it said, why we should worship on the Sabbath. Why we should worship on the Sabbath. And it says, Sabbath is the seventh day. And then it gave all these verses to say why we are to worship on the Sabbath. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that the most important thing to tell people? They put something in my mailbox. I've got one chance to read whatever they've given me, and it's go to church on a Saturday. Really? No, that's not the important message. That's not the good news that the Bible so clearly speaks about. If we're teaching people to go to church on a Saturday, then that's got to be a work salvation. That's got to be something we're doing to meet the standard of God, which we can never, ever meet, by the way. But we are being commissioned to go and preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. That's what we are to do. If you look in 1 Corinthians 15, this gives the gospel in a nutshell. This tells us what the gospel is. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye have saved, if ye keep them in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. in a nutshell, the gospel and what is the most important message for us to give is the Lord Jesus, what he did for you. And the fact that the inability we have of meeting this righteous standard of God, but that Jesus himself came to earth and died. He was perfect. He met the standard. He took the punishment of sin all upon himself so that we can then have a way into heaven through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus Christ. The message has to be all about the Lord Jesus. Has to be all about him. Now let me ask you a serious question. And you know what? This one was the one that hit me hard. It hit me hard and really made me think, really, what am I doing? Of all the people you may work with, of all the people you have in contact with, what do you tell them? Do you tell them, I'm a Christian? Well, okay, you're a Christian. Okay, that's all right. Do you tell them, there's lots of denominations that call themselves Christians. Even the Catholics call themselves Christians. What about, you tell them, I go to church. Well, okay, well done. But what power is in that? I'm a Christian, I go to church. You may even say, why don't you come along to church? But what are we trying to do? Win people to church? We're trying to win people to the Lord Jesus through the gospel. And anything you may say without the gospel as being your forefront message to them actually has no power. If you look in Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, not the teaching about other things. These things may be really, really good. There might be really good truths within God's word. Teach people to be moral. What about the people over in Africa? Give them food. Well done. But that's not going to save their soul. What use is that if they're going to be lost and dying on their way to hell? We've got to preach the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We're trying to get people to see their need for Christ, for salvation. And the power is in the gospel. The power, the punch, the only thing that can work with those hard-hearted people. You may tell them whatever you want, but the thing that will break through is the power of the gospel. Power of the gospel. That's what we are to tell. Now the question is where? Where are we to go tell? Now if you turn to, it says in Matthew 28:19, it says for us to teach all nations. But if you turn to Acts, in chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It says both there, which means it's not just Jerusalem, it's not just Judea, it's not just the uttermost parts of the earth, it's all of them. Now, can we personally try and reach the uttermost parts of the world or reach every single part of this goal here? Well, the question is no, we can't do it on ourselves, and that's why we need to be part of a church and have outreach and send people and in any other way do some sort of support that could allow every aspect of and everywhere we're supposed to go to be reached with the gospel. With the gospel. Now, it says here Jerusalem. We can see that as first place. First place. We see Judea. We could see that as the familiar place. They all knew the area of Judea, the familiar place. Now, Samaria, that was the forsaken place or the forgotten place. And then the uttermost parts of the earth, that can be seen as the foreign place. So first place, familiar place, forsaken place, and foreign place. Now, this is why it's a duty as a church that we are to reach and be a part of a church to go out. Come in to go out. Church needs to be the pit stop for the week so that we can go out. In our race, stop at the pit stop, which is here, exhort one another, build each other up, learn things from the Word of God, then go out and teach the gospel. Work hard at winning the race. Okay, that's the duty of a Christian. That's the duty of a church. Come in so we can go out. It says here the first place, it is at Jerusalem, both in Jerusalem. Now, the question is where is your Jerusalem? Where is your Jerusalem? If someone was to come up to me and ask me and say, look, I believe God wants me to be a missionary, the first thing I would say is, what are you doing now? What are you doing now so that you can do it when you go? If someone come up to me and said, I want to be a missionary, I'm going to go, I'll be questioning and saying, well, what are you doing now? If they're not doing anything, if they can't be a witness here, how are they going to be a witness over there? Their Jerusalem is going to become their foreign place. It's going to become their Jerusalem wherever they go. And if they can't reach people where they are, how are they supposed to reach people somewhere else? And that's why our first duty is for us to be witnesses and testimonies of the gospel here. And this is here. We can look at this as Melanda. We can look at this as just anything you think. It could be our family. It could be our family. But first place is where you are. Then it talks about the familiar place, or Judea, surrounding areas. Now, in Mackay, I preached a little bit of this message, this part of it, and it really made me question, okay, what's my Judea? Well, I believe that the whole of Mackay could actually be my Judea, because it's, well, compared to here, it's huge. We could put a church in three places, good Bible-believing church, in three places just in Mackay, and it probably still wouldn't be enough. Actually, my first probably 4 months, I actually didn't go south of the bridge. I only did to quickly go to somewhere little, the city. But then I'm like, what's south of here? So we went for a trip and we went, wow, it's huge here. That was 4 months later. but also we were looking at, there was a ministry that went out to Emerald a couple months ago. And we were kicking ourselves because we heard of it vaguely. And it happened, and we were like, oh, we didn't get to be a part of it. The closest church to that area, we didn't get to be a part of it. But that we could see is Emerald and the places around. Now, you know what Pastor Buddy's, one of his driving goals has been with this church for so long? Is to make a church have a church out at Raventoe, to have a church probably at Herberton, to have a church in every place around this area, because that is your Judea, you can see it as. Your Judea is to come here, build yourselves up in the Lord so that you can go out. Now, where are you to go out? Are you supposed to be going to Judea? Is that you personally? Are you supposed to be going to the uttermost parts of the world? Where? Where is the place that God wants you to specifically go in working with this church? Then we see the next place is the forsaken place. Now, we can probably see this as, you could see it as lots of different areas. But I'm going to pull it back a little bit and say maybe it's the forsaken person. The forsaken person. Now, is there someone that you avoid? Maybe, okay, I'm putting my hand up, it's my boss. Okay, I'm afraid to tell my boss about the things of the Bible. And it's a foolish thing to have. But maybe he's my forsaken place. He's my Samaria. Well, maybe who else is your Samaria? Your enemy. It's the forsaken places, the places that's forgotten. Because in the Bible, Samaria was the place that they walked around and they never wanted to go to that place because they were Gentiles. They weren't part of who they were. God is willing that not any should perish, even the Samaritans, but that all should come to repentance. So that is why God has commissioned us with every place to reach the gospel and tell people about the Lord. Then lastly, it's the foreign place. And this is the question that you need to be asking yourselves as a church. How can we be reaching Madagascar? How can we be reaching Africa? I look at on your missionary board over there, and there's a bit of a gap in certain areas. You know what? My church has smaller dots on our map. And that's why we are working towards having more of a missions program as well. Because it needs to be part of a church to reach the uttermost parts of the earth. It's part of the commission. It's part of what God has told us to do. And this is why, on a side note, it's so very important for you not to just give monetary gifts to missionaries, but to pray for them. Not just pray for them, but talk to them and to tell them that you're praying for them and to encourage them, because they're out there on the mission field and they need just as much encouragement as the next person. But this is the goal of local church. Where is your Jerusalem? Where is your Judea? Where is your forgotten place or Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth? That's a thing that we know where that is. That's everywhere. How are we doing it as a church? Now, the question pens is, how are we to go? How are we to go and give the gospel? Now, there's 3 points under this one. How are we to go? God's authority, with God's authority, with God's ability, and with God. Now, first of all, with God's authority. If you look back in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28, look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So God had given all power to the Lord Jesus. Okay? God gave all the power to the Lord Jesus. Now, he says to us, go. He says to us to go. Turn to John 20, 21. John 20, 21. It says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. As the Father has sent the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus was given all authority, he now sends us. And you know what? The amount of power we have based on our relationship with the Lord. Now, Jesus has all the authority, and we can tap into that and use that as we go. But the authority comes by the Lord Jesus, comes from God himself. We may be asked the question, just as Jesus was by the Pharisees, what gives you the right to stand and tell us to repent? What gives you the right to say, repent or you all go to hell? What gives you the right? Well, the Lord Jesus says, God. Well, he says, I am God. He is God. Jesus is God. But we have that same authority. We can go out boldly. We can preach the word of God with boldness because we have the authority of God backing us. We have God's authority because we've been commissioned from him. Now, also with God's given ability. Well, the three abilities we can have from God is God's Word, the Holy Spirit, and prayer. The three abilities that we have and that we need to go out with. If we don't have these, we're going to be falling short a lot. We're not going to be having the power that God wishes to give us to be a bold witness. That God wants us to, that when we don't know what to say and they're saying something that is, we don't know, we can tap into that power that we've got, if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, and we can go and say something and we can say, wow, that wasn't me, that was of God. Because that is what God wants from all of us. Now, we need to have the Word of God, first of all, written on the tables of our hearts, says in Proverbs chapter 3. In Romans 1:16, it says, the gospel is the power. In Ephesians 1:13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So the word of truth is the gospel of salvation, of your salvation. The word of truth in the gospel is the same thing. The gospel is one little piece of the truth of God's word. And we need to have that power that we talked about, Romans 1:16, that only comes by preaching the gospel. But how are we to go out and preach the gospel if we actually don't know the words of God to be able to say them? What happens when we go out and say, you know you're a sinner? Well, what power does that have unless we can go, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? The exact words that God has, his words are alive, they're powerful, they're living, and they need to be within us, written on the tables of our hearts so we can say it at a moment's notice and say the gospel. We can say what is necessary in the same way that the Lord Jesus spoke it, the gospel. Now, we can't become intellectuals. Now, this is a problem a lot of the time. This is a problem with people going to, I'm not dissing Bible college as a whole, but I'm saying a lot of people go to Bible college and they learn tons of verses. They get so much knowledge, but they got no power. And why don't they have power? It's because they don't have the Holy Spirit working through them. They don't have the Holy Spirit. It would be like me coming up here, preparing the most eloquent message, which isn't what I do, but preparing the most eloquent message, not using the power of God one bit, standing up here and giving it to you. Do you know that would be useless? It would be actually worthless, because it doesn't have the power of God behind it to enforce it, to come down and pinprick your heart and use it. The Word of God is important. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. But the power of the Holy Spirit, we need that too. Now, we could split up the power of the Holy Spirit and split up prayer and have them in two different categories. But you know what? I'd like to bring them into one category, because the Holy Spirit comes by prayer. The Holy Spirit comes by prayer. Now, I'm not just talking about just simple prayers. I'm not talking about, now they're good, simple prayers unto the Lord. But when do we get down on our knees and cry out to God? When do we actually spend time with God and praying? And it causes us to be sorrowful of our sin and asking the Lord Jesus to work with us and through us in a way that when we go out, the power of the Holy Spirit is behind us. Whoever feels like that they're going out and they just don't have something, it's like the armor of the Lord in Ephesians 6. It's like putting on all this armor and being ready, and yes, I've got it all. But let's say you haven't slept for 3 weeks. Let's say that you haven't eaten for 3 days. What sort of blows are going to be behind that sword? It's going to not be anything. And that's why it's important to have the power of prayer, which actually produces the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, it actually ends with all the armor, with prayer and supplication must be given to me also. And that's just such a vital piece of you could even say the armor, but how we are to go out, how we are to go. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. If you turn to Acts chapter 4, Acts in chapter 4 and verse 23. So they've just been persecuted for Christ's sake. And it says in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus Christ. Jesus. This is them giving glory, praise, honor, worshiping God through their prayer. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Do you know that this here, of the filling of the Holy Ghost, we believe that it's actually a sign gift. This sort of specific filling of the Holy Ghost was given to the apostles. But the same way that they received the Holy Spirit to work within their lives is the same way we need to do it. We need to have prayer. We need to be deep down in prayer, just with an awe about how God is and who God is, and with a disgust of who we are and our sin that stops us from having the power of God. Did you know that one thing that also stops us It's like where they used to have those mills with the wheels that were turning. The wheels were turning, the river would run the wheel and it would grind in the mill. Let's say upstream, something happened and it got blocked and the water stopped. How foolish would it be to go out and with all your strength try and push that wheel and to try to make it turn? You may get it to turn for a little bit, but what do you need to do? You need to go upstream, get rid of the rubbish so that that power can come back down. What rubbish is in your life stopping the power of God from coming down and running the wheel to produce fruit? What is the sin that's in your life stopping the power of God from being run through us? Now, God will always be with us. In Matthew 28:20, it says, "And lo, I'm with you always." 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "We are laborers together with God." Hebrews 13:5, it says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If you ever feel far away from God, it's you. It's never God. God is always there and will always be there to help you through and to help you in these times where you need to preach the gospel, to help you to go out. It determines on where and how your walk with the Lord is. But God will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, we have been commissioned to go. We have been commissioned to go. Every individual one of us and every one of us who makes up the church, we've been commissioned to go as a command by God. Why aren't we going? What is stopping us from serving God more, from reaching more people for the gospel? What's stopping us from going out in whatever way that you may feel the Lord has led you to tell the gospel in your workplace, on the street, wherever you are, having the word of the Lord on your heart and on your lips so that you can tell people about the gospel? What is stopping you? Why aren't you obeying the command of the Lord? Every single one of us have this duty. If you turn to Luke and chapter 14. Actually, no, don't turn there. Don't worry about it. Luke chapter 14, 15 to 24. It's a parable given about a great supper. It's a parable given about a great supper. And we are in the story. You know that? We are in the story of the great supper. And the master has said to go. He has said to compel to come in. There are different verses and different stages, but it says go, compel them to come in. Go, compel, come. That's what our commission is. We need to go. We need to compel. Now, what sort of urgency, we can say, does it sound like compel is in this? It's not just a whimsical, here, you want a leaflet? You want something to read? No, it's a fervor. It's a desire that all would be saved, just like the desire that God has that none shall perish, but all shall come to repentance. So when we go out, we say, do you know that the Lord Jesus died for you? Do you know where you are going to spend eternity? Please read this. Have a look at it and see what state you're in so that you can make it right with God and one day be gloriously united with the Lord in heaven. Why? What's stopping us from doing these sort of things? It's got to be one of these things, lack of power, lack of something, lack of the desire to do these things. What is the urgency in your message? Now, this also brings the question into thought that I may be preaching to some here who haven't actually received Christ as their Savior. I may be preaching to someone that we need to be telling you about the gospel of salvation. Maybe you're sitting here today and you don't know exactly what I'm talking about this Lord Jesus, about Him dying on the cross for you. You don't know about the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, which can bring more joy than anything else you can ever do. Maybe you don't know about this. Well, I'm going to urge you, don't leave it. Talk to someone afterwards who can go through the scriptures with you and show you step by step the way to God, basically, through the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. But to the Christian here today, we've been commanded. We've been told to go. What's stopping us from going, from obeying God's word? Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I just want to pray that You'll be working on the hearts of every individual here today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the continual work that you're doing on me, Lord, and the continual breaking down, Lord, of my heart, Lord, and the need for me to be going out to, Lord. Lord, just want to pray that if there is one, even one soul, Lord, in here today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, that they'll turn, that they'll ask questions, Lord, they'll seek, Lord, the Lord while he is found, Lord, and that they'll turn to Christ and then be able to join in with the joyful commission that we have as Christians. Lord, I pray for those here today who have something stopping them, Lord, from doing more for God, for serving God more. I want to pray, Lord, that they'll sort that out with you, Lord. I want to pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.